The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
So welcome to the fourth Sunday of Easter. This is the Sunday that we refer to as the Good Shepherd Sunday, of course, mainly because of the readings. But the church in Pope Francis wants us to think of this Sunday as Vocation Sunday, concentrating on the encouragement of our youth to seek the direction of a religious life rather than a secular one. But today I'm going to explore a little different slant. You see, often we take for granted our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the church. The church is always there, every Sunday, special events, to feed our souls, to comfort us in our trials and tribulations, and to offer us the opportunity to share in the real presence of the Lord, and to give us a sense of belonging, a sense of family, a sense of family community. And so we are challenged. Challenged not just to satisfy our own spiritual needs, but the needs of our children, our grandchildren, and all of those that are around us. Our challenge is to continue to feed our spiritual needs as well as the spiritual needs of all those around us. But during these modern times, with the pressure of society, economics, we find ourselves faced with the choice of following the path of Jesus that he wants us to in order to live the life that he wishes us to lead, instead of the secular way, which often includes selfishness, depravity, and corruption. As a result, people at this point in their lives may wish to back away from God, turn their backs on the church, and turn their backs on all that's holy. So is this why people leave the church? Well, this is one reason, but there are other reasons. And the one that stands out as most important to me as an excuse is, gosh, the Mass is boring. I don't get anything out of it. To this way of thinking, this is the worst reason to leave the church at all. Some people attend but don't even understand what the Mass is all about. Let us take a moment to remind some, and maybe to give some insight to others, about what the Mass is and how it functions. So the Mass is divided in half: liturgy of the Word, liturgy of the Eucharist, but it basically has four parts. Part one is the greeting. The greeting is the how do you do's, the hellos, and the recognition that we're here to see God. Oh, and while we're here to see God, we might as well confess that we are sinners and that we need forgiveness. And so we ask for forgiveness. And as a result of that forgiveness, we give glory to God with the Gloria. This ends the first part of the Mass. Then we enter into part two, which is the Liturgy of the Word. This is the part where the words of God are both from the Old and New Testament. We listen to these stories, we contemplate their meaning, and we have a deacon or a priest stand and open these words up to us so that we have a better understanding of their meaning. For these, we pray for the church and the people. From then, we pray for the church and the people of the church and profess our faith in the creed. And this concludes the first half of the Mass, or the Liturgy of the Word. After that, we enter into part three, which is the second half of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. This is the part of the Mass where we reenact the miracle of the Last Supper, when Jesus took bread and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. And he took the cup again and blessed it and gave it to them and ordered them, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is the miracle of transubstantiation, where we believe that the host and the wine are transformed into the real presence of Jesus himself. Now just imagine by some other miracle that Jesus was standing right here next to me. What would you do? You'd probably do what I would do. You would kneel before him and proclaim the prayer of the doubting Thomas, "My Lord and my God." So after that, the opportunity to share in the miracle of the real presence, we enter into the fourth part, or the conclusion of the Mass. This is where the priest blesses us with an apostolic blessing, and then we say goodbye. But we rarely hear the deacon or the priest say the Mass has ended anymore. Why is that? Well, we believe the Mass isn't really over. In fact, we believe it's a new beginning, because we believe upon receiving the real presence of Christ, we are changed, we are transformed, and thus the deacon sends us forth to reflect on this new person. You have to become so that you can show this to the wide world. So this is the Mass. It's repetition of the sacrifice of the cross Sunday after Sunday. And it stands to remind us that it took place for us, for our salvation, for our redemption, for our forgiveness of our sins. And it also offers us a path to everlasting life. So what is the message in today's readings about? We see Jesus makes a point of the fact that the sheep know their master. They recognize his voice. He walks in front of them and they follow. Jesus wants us to recognize his voice and know him. Jesus wants to build relationship with us and we with him. Ultimately, follow his lead. And the only way to do this is to build relationship over time, while gaining knowledge and understanding of his teachings, and further being with him daily, not just Sunday, but every day. And how does us mortal men do this kind of thing? Well, it's very simple. We read scriptures. We purposely put Jesus into our daily lives at the beginning of our day. We try to include him in our daily routine. We pray often. And as Paul says, pray always. And as St. Francis said, sometimes use words. Because his point is that our actions should reflect the glory of God as much as our words. That we are a visible sign that God is within us, that God is an instrument in everything we do, and that we are a reflection, a visible sign of what is seen in us. So this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we hear the words, Jesus' words, "I know my sheep, and they know me." Your job, your assignment, is to prove it. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.